Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, hour number three altogether. Again, just a reminder, we've got 4 hours of Leading Edge Medicine every Saturday morning, starting at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, and then from 10 to noon right here on 570 KVI. You can get all that information and detail on our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button, and you can not only get our schedule, but you can get all of our past programs so that you can listen to them again. That is a great idea to do. All right, lmclinic.com. Okay, let's take some more calls here, Jerry. Let's go to some Amish and talk with Susan. Susan, welcome to the
show.
Hello,
Susan.
Good morning. I have some questions regarding vitamin D.
Okay.
And I keep hearing different numbers on what we want to strive for, and what is the number that you recommend?
I look for a target between 60 and 90.
And then what do you base that on?
All right. These are a series of studies that have been done through the years. You know, when I was in medical school, we were told that if your vitamin D was below 13, you had a risk of forming rickets. And anything above 13 was considered acceptable, just because as long as your bones would form, you didn't get rickets in a newborn, you were fine. We now know that there's an enormous variation in vitamin D levels around the world. And people in sunnier climes tend to run much higher levels than way up north. It depends on which parameter you're looking at. For instance, bone density will continue to improve until you get a vitamin D, 25-hydroxy vitamin D level up above about 45 or so. So at 15 or 20, you won't get rickets, but you continue to get better and better bone density till you're up around 45 or thereabouts. You don't get your lowest risk of cancers because of the immune system boost until you get over 60. So somewhere 60 and up, if you're really worried about like being an older guy like me, that you want to lower your risk of getting cancers and you want the most robust immune system you can get. But now there's studies on children's brain function, which shows that the higher the vitamin D level, the more active brain function tends to be. And children who have vitamin D levels up in as high as 110 to 120 outperform kids with vitamin D levels in the 70s and 80s.
So kids playing outside all day in the sun with their shirt off,
they make more vitamin D, and those kids tend to do much better academically than
something.
Kids that have robust levels that are below that.
Interesting.
And yet, in older people, when you start getting vitamin D levels over about 120, you start increasing the degree of calcification in the arteries. So you get increased calcium scores in your arteries as the vitamin D levels get up towards what we consider a, quote, toxic range, which is probably 125 to 150 sort of area. So you can overdo a good thing. But at least in the childhood studies, even 100, 110 shows better brain function than the kids that are in the 60s and 70s. With older adults,
so as a 68-year-old female,
I pick 60 to 90 as my target because I want to avoid arterial calcification because older people are prone to lay down calcium in their arteries. So I prefer you to keep that under 100, and so I draw my line at 90 just for safety's sake. So okay. 60 to right. 90 is my personal target.
Okay. And then how often do you recommend testing?
I believe people should be tested a minimum of twice a year.
And would that be like a winter and a summer kind of thing?
Usually spring and winter. Or spring and fall. Spring will tell you what you've been through the winter. Fall will tell you where you are at the end of the summer going into winter.
Exactly. Okay. Very good. That's enormously helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. Take care.
And just as a little reminder, we do vitamin D when we do for our patients. How often?
All of our tests. We check it every 3 months in our clinic.
Okay. Good
so, yeah, I say a minimum of twice a year, but in our clinic, it gets checked every 3 months.
Okay, good. Let's go to Olympia and talk with Kathy. Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi.
Howdy.
I have a question. I'm a patient of the Tacoma Clinic, and my pregnenolone, without taking pregnenolone, is very high. In fact, it was up to 213. And now it's at 189, and no one seems to know what's going on.
All right.
Without taking any pregnenolone, and of course I'm on all the hormones. And
sure. What are your other hormone levels like? When they checked your progesterone and estradiol and testosterone, were those also robust, or were those pretty deficient?
I never know how to say it, estriol or estradiol, but it's, it's probably a combination. But that was low this time. I just got tested. And then the pregnenolone is getting, it was a little high previously in January, and now it's fine, or it's getting better, I guess. And the testosterone, I'm not aware of because I don't have my paper report yet. So
okay. All right, well, let me just talk a little bit about pregnenolone metabolism. Pregnenolone is a precursor hormone. It's made by your adrenal glands. And pregnenolone is then converted to dehydroepiandrosterone, progesterone, estradiol, testosterone, cortisol. All of those downstream hormones are eventually made out of pregnenolone. Okay. Now, in some people, they can have, now I'm going to talk about people that are not on hormone supplementation. Some people that are not on hormone supplementation, you'll check a rare person and they'll have sky high pregnenolone, but all the downstream hormones are very low. And in those people, what's happened is there's a metabolic block. They can't convert. They are incapable of converting the pregnenolone into their other hormones. And that could be because the end organ hormone or end organ glands are failing. You know, if your ovaries can't make estrogens, then you have nowhere for that pregnenolone to go. If your adrenals can't make cortisol, you have nowhere for that pregnenolone to go. So basically, some people will have high pregnenolones because they have end organ failure that prevents them from turning the pregnenolone into the other hormones that are downstream from it. Conversely, sometimes if we take people that started with a normal pregnenolone, but all of their other hormones were low just because of age, and we raise their other hormone levels back to a more robust level, now the pregnenolone doesn't need to turn into the other hormones because they've already got enough. If you've got your progesterone, your dehydroepiandrosterone, your testosterone, your cortisols, all these other things, there's nowhere for the pregnenolone to go. And so in some people, it'll build up to fairly robust levels just because you don't need to turn it into anything else. Now, the question is, are you having any adverse effect from that high pregnenolone? Now, pregnenolone tends to be a somnolence drug. It tends to make people mellow and relaxed. They tend to sleep better. If you're finding yourself groggy and tired all the time, that could be due to the high pregnenolone. But if you're not having adverse effects, I don't know of anything we need to do about it.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Also, I'm on what?
I said, does that answer your question?
Well, it does somewhat. And going along with that, I don't know if you have time to answer the second question, but my thyroid is having a little trouble too. I do take a synthetic and the Armour thyroid. And the comment from the doctor was it's not responding to the Armour thyroid, or it's not responding as well as it should be. And you need to go to an endocrinologist and, or at least, you know, think about that. And so that's what my next step is who is a good endocrinologist? And do you recommend anyone or...
I don't have anybody in mind right now. You're down in Tacoma, okay, which is really outside of my area.
I see.
Yeah, but tell me about your thyroid function. They've got you on levothyroxine as well as Armour, but your TSH is still high. Is that what's going on?
Well, I'm at a disadvantage to talk to you because I don't have the paper report with me. So I can tell you what is in the past. It's was above normal in 2019, 3.57, and there was mention of a T3 problem too. And so that's all I've got.
Okay.
I looked through my past reports and I couldn't find what I needed to say to you. So.
Okay. Well, let's do it this way. Okay. Since you're a patient, go to our website and find the Contact Us button.
Mm-hmm.
And send me your name and some contact information. And then first of the week, when I get a few minutes, I'll pull up your chart. And maybe I can send you some suggestions. Let me take a look at it, okay?
Well, that'd be really nice. Thank you.
All right.
There you go, Kathy. Do what he said. He follows through, so that'd be good. All right, we appreciate your call. It's time for a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with, who will we be talking? Lee in Anacortes has got a question about prostate issues. Irene from Vancouver, B.C. has a question about hernias. And maybe you would like to call at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. And don't forget, right around 11:30, we've got Dr. Brian McKay from Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry. My dentist, Jerry's dentist, all of our dentists around here for a long time. He is the best. Dr. Brian McKay, right around 11:30. So if you've got questions about your teeth, your smile, whatever, gums, issues, whatever, give us a call at 1-888-312-5757. We'll be back.
I'm in the longevity program in Lynnwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realize why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark.
Welcome back, everyone, as we listen to Pat Boone sing Stagger Lee. Pat, by the way, is doing a new movie. He's going to be down in Branson in September doing a new movie.
And what? Is he 86?
He's 86 on 86 June 1. Just right around.
That's
tomorrow.
No, it's Monday.
Monday. Excuse me. That's Monday.
Sunday.
Yeah, he's invited me down to while he's doing the movie in Branson, Missouri. It's a long story, but anyway, he is doing so well.
Have you checked the COVID status in Branson, Missouri?
No, I haven't.
I would before I go.
I will. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Don't forget, again, around 11:30, we've got Dr. Brian McKay, who is going to be here from Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry. Oh, and one more thing. We had Dr. Dan Nelson on about 3 hours ago, I guess, and he has a pain webinar this afternoon. And so if you're struggling with pain, he's been a guest here, not for a while on KVI, but he's been a guest. You know who he is if you're a regular listener. He's with Pro Ortho. He deals with all kinds of different pain issues, not just stem cell therapy, even though he's sort of the go-to guy here. He's doing it the right way. If you're dealing with back pain of any kind or joint pain or what have you, today at 3 o'clock, you can watch a webinar by going to his website, conqueringyourpain.com. Conqueringyourpain.com. Today at 3 o'clock. Please. It's so important to get out of pain, because when you get out of pain, you can be active again. You can walk, you can run, you can golf, you can play tennis. Just being active, going up and down stairs again without grimacing. Being out of pain is a very beneficial objective. So, again, go to conqueringyourpain.com today at 3 o'clock for the special webinar by Dr. Dan Nelson. All right. Okay. Let us go to Anacortes and talk with Lee. Good morning, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. So I've been, one urologist diagnosed me having what's called a high neck bar. And the assumed treatment for that is a TURP, which I absolutely don't want to have done because I don't want retrograde ejaculation in my bladder, but supposedly that's okay, and I'm just going to pee it out. The other issue is I've been on Tamulosin for not quite 60 days, but maybe 45 days now, and I really would like to get off of Tamulosin. I'm wondering if there's an alternative to the TURP situation and Tamulosin. As it turns out, I don't know what the Tamulosin is made in Croatia, I believe. And of course, that's the other is the TURP thing. So I was originally looking at the Rezūm procedure, which I think uh-huh. you guys know about Rezūm.
Yep.
And the person that I am seeing on Thursday, this coming Thursday, he is going to go back in and, well, he's going to go in for the first time. He's going to remove the rest of the bladder stones that are there. I had I think I talked to you guys a couple of different times, but I had a kiwi-sized bladder stone removed back in January. And so maybe some of the particulate stuff was still in there, but it somehow must have allowed more stones to grow. I did actually pass one stone that was about 8.5 centimeters. That was quite an experience, I got to tell you.
I bet.
The male plumbing is not made to pass half a marble-sized thing out, but...
No, it is not.
Anyway. And so, anyways. So, basically, I just want to know what you know about TURP, an alternative to TURP or an alternative to correcting the high neck bar. My PSA is 2.5. My prostate is only 25 grams. I'm a very healthy male, except for a little bit of plumbing issues going on.
All right. Well, that is an issue. Tell me what your concern. Why did you decide not to do the Rezūm?
Well, I don't know. No, I haven't decided not to do that. The surgeon that I'm seeing on Thursday, he's actually been doing the Rezūm procedure since it okay. started here 6 years now. That's Dr. Torgerson yep. at Swedish. Uh-huh. And he's seen all of my history from the other urologists going back about 3 years now, and of course there was only one urologist that the one that was at Virginia Mason, and he, you know, he said that the only way you're going to really be able to correct the situation that you have in his experience was through the TURP. And so the other urologist that Dr. Torgerson that I'm going to see, he, you know, he's gonna scope me, obviously, in the process this coming Thursday, getting rid of the rest of the bladder stones. I have like 3 or 4 of them floating around there. One of them's about 17 centimeters, and then there's 2 or 3 others smaller. But so he's going to look at it, and he's going to see if I'm a good candidate for Rezum, if it's, you know. I just want to know.
All right.
If I know what Rezum does. I mean, I know all about the medium lobes and all that other stuff. And my particular situation doesn't really reflect that type of procedure. Gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't want TURP. If there's any way possible to avoid TURP.
Okay. Well, TURP is old school. It's been around since the 1950s or so.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically they take a cutting loop that puts a high frequency current, basically vaporize the tissue, everything that the wire touches, and they shell out the prostate, cutting out enough tissue to debulk it so that it's smaller. But in the process of removing the prostate, to get at the prostate, they have to go through the prostatic urethra, the tube that basically carries the urine from the bladder through the prostate down the penis, you know, to the outside. And so you totally destroy that prostatic urethra, that section of the urethra. And in the process, you almost always totally get rid of the external valve. You have urinary incontinence for some period of time until you learn to accommodate and adjust. Almost everybody leaks and wets their pants a bit for at least 4 to 6 months, and yeah. Some people for years.
I have a friend that's years now.
Yeah, and you can end up essentially permanently with an adult diapers. So
yeah.
I'm not a big fan. And you know, if you're someone who's young enough or vigorous enough that you still have an active sex life, obviously losing the ejaculate coming down the penis, that provides a good bit of the sensation with intercourse. With
right.
the retrograde ejaculation going back up in the bladder, you lose that sensation, which many men really find takes out a lot of the joy of sex. So yeah, TURPs have significant downside. I'm not a big fan if you've got a good choice. The ways that I have looked at this in the recent past were the prostatic arterial embolization, which is not done by urologists, but is done instead by the procedural radiologists, where they thread a catheter from your femoral artery up into the prostate and basically kick little emboli, foam or micro beads, and kill off part of the prostate by shutting off the blood supply to some portion of the prostate, which causes it to shrink down. That usually has very, very low side effect profile, but occasionally you get in trouble, like everything else done by human beings.
I've seen that procedure done on the internet, and it was performed at the Mayo Clinic. So I know what you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
But basically, so, you know, I don't want to stay on here too long. I have what's they're calling it as a slightly deformed neck at the base
yes.
of the bladder to the
yeah, the bladder neck. Went,
and so they're calling that a high neck bar. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
High neck bar.
Yes, I do. And
okay.
the thing I was going to get to with the prostatic urethra or the prostatic embolization procedure is you don't have good control over which portions of the prostate are going to die. You get some
yeah.
degree of control, but you're basically threading this catheter into arteries and pumping in the stuff, and it's what's going to die is going to die. The advantage you've got with more focused procedures, such as the TURP, is you can take out the areas you want to take out because you can see it. You're there. It's a direct procedure. I am not sure how precise they can be with the Rezūm, in which you are, you know, doing needle sticks and killing prostate tissue with basically steam, heating right. the tissue locally with little bursts of steam. I would right. think a doctor that does a lot of those and has a lot of experience could probably be pretty good at his choice of which tissue he wants to kill. So I've never done one myself. Don't expect I ever will. So I'm not expert at it. But my guesstimate is a doc like you're describing that has been doing it for 6 years and has a lot of experience, he could probably do as good a job of correcting that high bar as anybody I know. And probably, I'm going to guess, might approach the effectiveness of the TURP without the downside, without killing, destroying that entire prostatic urethra. Right. So once more, the guy that's going to do the procedure has to make the final decisions.
Yeah.
But I would lean towards at this point of telling him this would be your preference if he feels comfortable and right. let him know that you do not expect. Okay. And let him know you don't expect perfection. You recognize he can't give you guarantees, but right. if in his opinion, he thinks he's got a good shot at it, that's the way I would go.
Okay. And then, I haven't been able to figure out if, I've never had headaches, but, and I'm pretty sure I did read maybe one of the side effects of Tamulosin was a headache. I've talked to a couple of urologists
yes.
about it, but. So is there a alternative to Tamulosin?
Yes, Tadalafil, which is a PE or a phosphodiesterase E inhibitor. So, tell you what, we got the music. I got to go, but. Keep listening. I'm going to talk a little bit about Tadalafil and prostate, okay?
Well, we've actually got Dr. Brian McKay coming up right after the break, but we'll start off with what you just said.
Okay.
Tadalafil. So keep listening. And but I should point out again, Dr. Brian McKay from Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry is going to be next after the break. If you have a question about your teeth, your mouth, various issues, you call us right now at 1-888-312-5757.
I think it's a wonderful thing. It teaches at the seminar and not reacting after the problems. It's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
All right, 35 minutes, almost 36 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Jerry, you were just talking with Tom
right.
Regarding his prostate issues, and then he talked about the headaches.
Yeah, the headaches. Well, what will often happen, anything that's a vasodilator that opens up the blood vessels and the Flomax he's taking, the Tamsulosin, it relaxes smooth muscle, which allows him to pee better. But in relaxing smooth muscle, also relaxes the smooth muscle in your arteries. Arteries dilate, and if you're getting central vein dilatation in the brain, you will almost always get headaches. So there are people that will do that. The PDE5 inhibitors also act as vasodilators, but they have more control. Sildenafil, the old Viagra, gives a lot of headaches because it hits the receptors in the brain and you get central vein dilatation. But Tadalafil dilates the PDE5 and 11 more than the PDE1. It probably doesn't mean anything to 99% of the world. It has much less propensity to cause headache.
That's Cialis, right?
That's Cialis. Only you want...
A generic.
Yeah, Cialis is very expensive. The generic Tadalafil is dirt cheap. And so I usually use the Tadalafil. In fact, I usually have them go get a good RX card and buy it 90 20 milligram pills at a time. It's about 50 cents a pill, and $45-$50 for 90 pills. It only takes a fourth of a pill, 5 milligrams a day. So you just take that 20 milligram pill, you bite off about a fourth of it. And so you're getting your medication for maybe 20 cents a day.
That's right. I had a patient just this last week freaking out, gave me a call and said that thanks to you, he ordered it. I think he said at Safeway. I get my stuff at Costco, but he got it at Safeway. And it was $75 for the 20 milligrams.
Yeah.
And that's $75
for 90 pills.
For 90 pills. Each but they pill said that the lady said, my goodness, the retail on this was $1,300.
Yes. Yeah. The if you get the Cialis brand, it's $1,300. It was, I bought mine, I get it for $52. And you use a fourth of a pill a day.
Yeah.
So that 90 pills lasts you the best part of a year for $52. Duh. What, a dollar a week?
Yeah. So
for something to help you pee. But the nice thing about the tadalafil, it's not just for urination. It improves brain function. It lowers the risk of a variety of cancers. It improves cardiac output. Studies done on people that use a PDE5 inhibitor like tadalafil in conjunction with testosterone lowered the risk of heart attacks by 80%. So, you know, if I see studies that will lower my risk of heart attacks by 80%, improve my brain function, and help
Thank
me
goodness.
Pee as an old man, and I can get it for a dollar a week, damn right I'm going. Come on.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's fascinating. All right. Hey, Dr. Brian McKay. Brian, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Brian.
Hey. Wow.
Well,
all my muscles right now.
Okay. Well, you've been taking some time off until very recently. Tell us, what the heck is the governor allowing you to do right now?
Well, it's whatever the heck I want to, so that's good.
Good. All right. You're a free man. Congratulations.
Well, you know, the whims and whims of the wizard is are still can be wafted my way, so I'm not going to do anything crazy, but be appreciative of being back in the office. It's good to see people. It's good to finish up the things we started over 2 months ago. You know, there's still an awful lot of fear in people, and, you know, just needlessly so for almost all of them. But still, you know, I've got, you know, so much ozone gas blowing in the office, it smells like a swimming pool or something. Because we're disinfecting the heck out of the whole thing on a minute-by-minute basis so that people are comfortable. You know, it just cracks me up when people call and say, should I wear a mask?
Yes, but not while we're working on your mouth.
That's the dental office. It's just like, wait a second. No, I'll wear a mask. Come on in.
That's right. So really, yeah, but should I wear a mask? Yes, but not...
Just some minor changes. We've upgraded our masks to level threes. This whole N95 thing is a bunch of hooey. You know, we got people hyperventilating and passing out, trying to breathe through an N95 that really isn't even made for medical use anyway. People pull them down because they can't breathe. And when you breathe through your mouth only, of course, you're not going to get an exchange very effectively. So everybody, we're really safe. We have shields now. Like that does anything. You know, I put my shield on and I go, wow, nothing can fit around this shield.
Except for the 6-inch gap at the bottom. But yeah.
Well, so only two or three, but that's...
I know.
All those things are making people comfortable, and that's the goal, and I'm fortunate to get back to work and feel very grateful. So it's nice to be back.
My wife would love to know why it's okay to go to a dentist now, but she can't get her hair done.
I don't know. You know, why are the marijuana shops open but not the churches?
Now you get to the real core of it, and that's the biggest dichotomy there is that. But, you know, it drives me crazy trying to second guess any connection with logic or reason or real science anyway. Why things are done. I'm just grateful and happy to be back and happy to be able to help some of my patients, because that's what makes
that's
my world
great.
Go around, and I'm happy to be there.
Well, there's always been the problem when it comes to dentistry of people procrastinating because they don't want to go to the dentist. But
they're like me. They're terrified of dentists.
You're not terrified.
I'm a fairly...
People don't need two reasons to not go to the dentist. So when someone
that's
says,
right.
oh, you might not want to go to the dentist, they go, well, there you go.
That's right. No, but actually, before I saw Brian, I did not go very often. I have an unreasonable, irrational fear of dentistry. I don't know why, but I've been seeing Brian now for, I don't know, 15 years or something, and he's never hurt me, and I'm just, he's the only dentist I'm actually willing to go see.
That's right. That is, you know, when you have a quality artiste as a dentist, it does make a difference in pain levels and things like that. All the difference in the world. I'm not the only one who has done this, but the guy that I used to go to before Brian, we literally called him Dr. Pain, and not fondly.
Oh, I know.
Not fondly. I mean, holy cow, don't
even get me. I
know a dentist
with a real last name of Pain, and I have suggested many times that he change it, but he didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he should marry somebody, you know, named Painless or whatever.
Hey, Brian, what are some of the consequences that you see as a result of procrastination?
Well, procrastination just makes the thing you're scared of more likely to happen. So people that are concerned about that that sort of thing end up with what I call the self-fulfilling prophecy. Of, you know, scared about cavities or periodontal disease or whatever. And so when they finally come in 5 or 6 or 3 years or months later, it is in fact now true. And so best thing in the world is just come in and we'll hold your hand if necessary and to make you feel comfortable. And once we get through it, as you know, no matter what office you go to, but once you're comfortable in that office, then you can go ahead with care with a minimum, it's never none, but a minimum of concern and anxiety.
That's interesting.
Most of our patients that are really concerned get over that hump by sedating them. We have a great by the mouth, so no IVs of sedating people for their dental care, and it part of the sedation provides amnesia. People don't remember their visit, which for a lot of people is the best possible dental visit.
Absolutely.
I can't remember anything. Is what I love to hear.
Now, what type of sedation are you talking about there?
It's a pill form, the benzodiazepine family that has a positive side effect of anterograde amnesia. So once we give you the pill, everything after that you can't remember for 5 or 6 hours.
Well, what type of patient would need that? Because I've never been offered that. I've never complained about pain in all these years, 10, 12 years. But are you talking about maybe more major procedures, things like that would be needed?
Well, it depends on the level of anxiety, Pete. Some people have anxiety that is absolutely takes them to their core.
That prevents them
from picking up the phone. And so when they finally do come in, some kind of reason drives them.
Okay.
It can be their front tooth broke off, or it can be that they're in a lot of pain. It could be a variety of things. But we can help people through their visits until they kind of get over that hump and realize that, no, it's not the end of the world. No, I'm not going to die.
Gotcha.
No, it's not going to be painful.
I gotcha.
The procedure, because it's just a mild sedation. I still have to use local anesthetic, to get them numb. They're just not going to care that I do that. So they're not going to have any pain no matter what.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. I missed the whole point there, but you're right. Because of the anxiety that some people have, that could be a valuable thing to have. Okay. Well, just all the more reason. Dr. Brian McKay is with us today from Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry. Let's talk about the name of your practice. You do cosmetic dentistry as well as regular dentistry, you know, cavities and all of that. Obviously, it's your mainstay. But from a cosmetic point of view, what are the kinds of things that people ought to know about your practice?
Well, all my training is in cosmetics, and so even when I do traditional general care, it's just done with a way that makes it look more like teeth. We just take the time to make sure everything looks great, too. And so if you're going to fix it, why not make it look good?
Yeah, you helped me out, 6 months or so ago with my two front teeth. Looked pretty nasty and had a little chip on there and what have you, and you were good enough to put, what were those veneers you put on me?
We put some veneers on you.
Oh, man, what a wonderful joy.
I'm glad you were so relaxed that you lost count because it was four.
It's four. Yeah, four. Well, I didn't need a pill.
We call this antegrade amnesia.
Okay. Oh my golly. Well, there's a lot of reasons why we refer people to Dr. Brian McKay, because as in any specialty, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this show is called Leading Edge Medicine. And like the other people that we often have on as guests, we have Dr. Brian McKay on because he's who we see and he's who we recommend. And so let me just point out, Brian, your phone number is 206-720-0600. I should ask, are you super busy right now? But if people call now, I know there's probably been some pent up demand to get in to see you. But if people were to call you now, are they going to have to wait forever? Give me a ballpark of so our listeners will know what to expect.
Well, we're still we've kind of gotten over the hump of getting things finished that we started before the thing hit. That's what I call
it.
And so we've kind of covered that. And so we could fit somebody in next week if they wanted to come in that quick.
Fabulous.
Come in that quick. So,
That's good.
Leave a voicemail at the office, and we'll call them back on Monday morning and get them in whenever's convenient for them.
What a great idea. I have a friend who literally just 3, 4, 5 days ago called and wanted to know. And so that is great to know. 206-720-0600. That's 206-720-0600. And your web address is acld.com. Is that right?
Right. Exactly. acld.com. Not acid. ACLD.
ACLD. Don't go to acid.com, please.
No,
you will be shocked. But ACLD.com. I suggest you go there because, Brian, you got a wonderful website and, there's a lot of information on there, videos and pictures, obviously before and after stuff. So, check that out, ACLD.com. But if you haven't been to a dentist for a long time, you know who you are, and you know that prevention is important. Give Dr. Brian McKay's office a call at 206-720-0600. 206-720-0600. And you'll be glad you did. Brian, thank you. I texted Brian late last night around 10:30, and asked, can you call in? And there you are. So thanks, Brian.
Hey, appreciate it a lot. Great to talk to you guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's get some golf in this summer, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to bug you about that. That's right. Oh, isn't that good of the governor? All right.
My goodness, yeah.
Have a good weekend, Brian. Thanks a lot.
You as well.
All right, let's go to Vancouver, B.C., and talk with Irene. Irene, welcome to the show.
Hello, Irene.
Oh, hi. Yes, I have a question. My husband is scheduled for an inguinal hernia repair in September, And I'm just wondering what your views are about using the mesh, or do you feel that's probably the only type of repair that you should have as far as an inguinal hernia is concerned?
Back in my family doctor days, probably repaired a few hundred inguinal hernias, and I think I really needed mesh in maybe three of them. So, okay. If it's a big enough defect that you can't pull the tissue together without undue stress, then you need to put a piece of mesh across it. Now, we're talking here about an open repair where you actually make an incision with your, and you can see it with your fingers and you're working with instruments. Now, that's very different if you're doing a laparoscopic repair where you're working through a scope. Then tacking a little piece of mesh across the defect is the only practical way to do it. But as an open repair where you actually can identify the cord structures and the nerves, and the blood vessels, and you can just kind of pull those tissues together and sew them up with a nice line of sutures, you get very good control. Now, the surgery is a little slower that way. The recovery takes several weeks before he's able to do a lot of heavy lifting and so on, usually a month or 6 weeks that he has to limit his lifting. But you don't normally need a mesh unless the hole, the defect, the hernia itself is so big, or the tissue that you're working with is so thin and fragile. You know, hernia repairs in young people with robust tissue are very easy. Hernia repairs in old men that have a very bad, friable, thin tissue to start with, and they've put it off for so long they've got a great big defect, that's when you may need to put a mesh in.
Okay. Well, I saw some interviews on the internet, and some of them were not very encouraging as far as mesh is concerned. So.
Yeah.
I thought it would get your opinion.
But, yeah, well, the problem with meshes are that they're not living tissue. They're a foreign body. And so you can get more scarring than you had planned on with them. Or the worst case analysis is you get an infection in the mesh. And once you get an infection growing in that mesh, trying to clean the infection up is almost impossible. You usually have to end up going back and taking it back out. So when things go well, when you don't have any complications, the mesh can provide a good, strong, robust repair. But when you get in trouble with a mesh, you're usually in much deeper trouble than you are with normal, healthy, viable tissue.
Oh, yes, understandable, for sure. Well, thank you so much. I just have one very, very quick question. It's regarding your tea, your green tea that you drink a lot of. But
yes.
My concern is drinking green tea, especially if you drink several cups a day, if it's not organic and it's from all countries all over the world, China, Sri Lanka, and you don't know what they're using. Apparently they use a lot of pesticides on tea now, is what I've heard. Are you not concerned about drinking tea that's not organic?
Yeah, your problem is that when the label says organic, you don't know what it really is.
Yeah,
you know, how do you know what was sprayed on there 6 months before? And you don't. You're having to take the word for it. And a lot of people throw around the phrase organic, and they lie a lot. There are, however, websites, folks that have gone through and tested a variety of brands of tea and tested them for organophosphate pesticides as well as heavy metals and so on. And so you can use that as your guide. And like I said, one of the best ones around is plain old-fashioned Lipton.
That's what we looked at. I wondered if they had organic, so I checked on it, and I didn't see any organic green tea.
No, but they are such a big company that they do so much mass testing that they test their stuff for, just because they've got a worldwide business with a reputation to protect. So they do testing for heavy metals and organophosphate pesticides in all of their product.
Oh, good to hear.
So it's nice to know about them.
Lipton tea then. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thanks, Irene. Thanks for calling. Hey, another caller. This is we're having a record-breaking day. People don't want to go on the air, but they want to know what's the name of the author of the book Suppressed Medicine that you've talked about. Can't find it online.
I don't think I've ever talked about it.
No, I've never heard you talk about
it. I think they're confusing me with somebody else on the air.
That's right. So, sorry we can't help you.
Yeah, I've never heard of the book, never talked about it.
Let's go to Valerie in Issaquah. Valerie, we've got maybe a minute and a half. We'll try to help you.
Tremendous. Just a quick question. I have a 25-year-old nephew with extraordinary severe acne on his back to the point where he cannot sleep on his back. They're talking, putting him on Accutane, and that has some potential for depression, which he already runs there anyway. Is there a alternative to Accutane that might be even reasonably effective?
Yep, but my guess is that if they're thinking of Accutane, they've already tried all the other things. Almost nobody goes to Accutane first because of the potential for liver damage, and especially in young people that might father a child. So, you know, my guess is he's already had the doxycycline or tetracycline tested. He's probably already used the topical clindamycins. He's probably already used the antibacterial shampoos like the Nizoral. And if all of that has failed, then the Accutane is where you go just because you don't have a lot of choices.
I'm so sorry. Sorry we can't be of more help.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Valerie. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's frustrating.
But that is one of those drugs that it's not a first. I don't know any doctor that goes to Accutane first. If they're looking at Accutane, they've already tried a lot of other stuff.
Everything. Hey, in the last minute of the show, I want to remind everybody, when we started the show today, we had 9 available free health analysis appointments in the last week of June, but only at the Juanita Clinic. We have no more in Tacoma or Linwood of the free health analysis appointments, but there were 9 in Kirkland in that last week of June. The free appointment with the 2 free tests and the masks, the free masks, and $100 of longevity supplements. There may be 1 or 2 available. So it's 4 hours since I first announced it. So I encourage you, if you're interested, you might find 1 or 2 in Juanita of the free health analysis appointments. Grab it now. Go to lmclinic.com and grab it if it's there. Have a good weekend.